This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
Applications are now open for AMI Scholarship. If you're a Canadian student with a permanent disability, learn more about how you can apply for the 2021 AMI Robert Pearson Memorial Scholarship. Visit ami.ca/scholarship for more information. Rabia Muthan, Kelly McDonald. We're the hosts of the program. Thanks for being with us on your Friday.
On Fridays, we like to get in a weekly app update. So let's bring on John Beeler.
This is The App Show, unlocking software secrets for smartphones, tablets, TVs, and more.
John Beeler's also on The App Show, which airs 4 p.m. Eastern time on Saturdays on AMI Audio. And on Fridays, he's kind enough to pull together some stories that we can check out, things that have come up over the week regarding apps and app news. So, John, there's going to be a rollout, this one we put up first, of a voice command that's Hey Spotify, and this is on Android and iOS. I don't think it's out yet, right? Do you think I've triggered any smart devices?
You might have, yeah.
Whoops.
I believe it is rolling out. But it's a really cool feature, I think, especially if you leave Spotify going and you're wanting, you know, you just have it on a device and you're going about your day and doing things and you want to change the song, you can just use your voice now to interact with it. But the only sort of gotcha is that you actually have to have the app open and running. So it's not...
So open like, and running
yeah,
on your iOS or Android.
Yeah, it's not integrated into, you know, your Google or your Siri requests. Right. So, I mean, you can still sort of get at Spotify through those things, but this is a little bit more direct. As long as the app is open and running, you can interact with your voice only directly with your device.
So when is it supposed to actually come on out where people can, you know, do you think, I mean, obviously it depends when people update, of course.
Yeah, typically with rollouts, they typically do it like by region, you know, so it could be a couple of days, it could be a couple of weeks, but it's probably going to be here pretty soon, I think.
That's why you could have triggered some people and some people could be getting some music, or if you're smart room, you would have said, you know, said the magic words and said, play AMI audio.
Sure.
That's right.
That's what you would have done.
Next time.
Let's talk about things that we've had in our lives, some of us, dreams for years. Google's new R full news toy. New R toy fills the childhood dream of digging a hole all the way to the other side of the earth. How does this work?
It's AR, augmented reality.
So
this is a really fun thing that, like you mentioned, everyone sort of, you know, what happens if you keep digging, you know, what's on the other side of the planet from
right.
where your location is. And Google's actually created a little augmented reality toy you can actually do in the Chrome browser on an Android phone only at this point. But it allows you to tie into Google Earth and Google Maps and all that stuff. And you can actually tunnel in and it'll directly look at what's on the opposite end of the planet from where you are by drilling through the middle of the planet.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
Super fun. Yeah.
Can you set places where you want it to do it from?
You know, I haven't had a chance to try it. I was trying it earlier, but it only works in Android. And unfortunately, my Android phone is not with me today. So I haven't been able to try it. But looking at some of the screenshots I've seen online, it looks pretty neat. It does sort of depend. Like if you move around your house, for example, you know, obviously the angles will be different and you could be, you know, in a very different part of the world depending on the angle that you drill down on. So someone was saying that, you know, they were basically either directly above the Middle East, New Zealand, or the Antarctic, depending on the angle in the room in their house that they were actually drilling from.
Mm-hmm. And you wouldn't think about that, right? You would, you know, certainly, you know, people would think, oh, okay, I'll just straight down. It'll be opposite from where I am. And that totally, depending on that angle, is just not even, hey, folks, it's not just like that. It's round.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're not looking at like a 2D map where you're like, oh, what's below Canada? You know, it's the US. Like, no, it's like somewhere else on the other side of the world. And because of the sizes and the just the vast distances we're talking about here, like, you know, just thousands and thousands of miles, moving a couple of feet around your house can dramatically change where you, that angle points on the other side.
Boy, could you ever have fun. You could just be doing that for, well, all the time. And then you go and take somebody who comes over, one of your little friends. Hey, look, look here. I'm going to show you something. And you think, oh, man, when I drill here, we're underwater. And no, because you're just that foot or two off.
That's right. Cool. Yeah.
The next iteration of this would be you actually have to make this, you know, like a video game or something where you had to put in the work. So the harder you dig, the faster you'll get to the other side, huh? Make it a whole workout.
That could take some time.
Yeah, the workout thing is in. So there you go. Start shoveling.
Seriously. That's right. Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about some things that are going away, though. Yahoo Answers is actually shutting down on May 4th. What's happening? Was it not utilized enough? We're not seeing enough of it anymore?
Well, this is sort of an offshoot because of the fact that Yahoo's been kind of like this hot potato for the last few years where people have big company, multinational corporations have bought it and then sold it and are slowly dismantling it and shutting down some of their services that maybe aren't making money or were just problematic. And Yahoo Answers is one of those sacred places on the internet. It's a huge resource of people asking questions and getting answers from the internet. Is it all high quality content? Not necessarily, but it's a point in time because it's been around since 2005. So it has, you know, a good chunk of, you know, really rich history of things happening over time on the internet. And what's really kind of surprising is that they're not just shutting it off and like, you know, here's the archives. They're deleting everything. Like it's going away, like gone. And that seems kind of sad because this seems like it should be archived in some way for future generations to see, you know, kind of like when you find an old book about, you know, dating habits in the 40s or 50s, that kind of thing, right? Like you look back at some of that stuff and you're like, oh my God, I can't believe that's how you used to have to do that thing, right? So, Yeah, I'm hoping that someone's going to come in, maybe the Internet Archive or some other big organization that is sort of known for archival purposes and will save those answers because it just seems like a shame that they would just disappear completely and they would literally delete the files.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure like what when something like this goes away, do people talk about how to kind of maintain it in some way or does it just become like a no, this can't be handled anymore, we got to toss it type situation? Because I agree with you. I think it would be a good idea to kind of keep it in an archived format, but maybe that's just not a doable thing.
Well, and that's just it. I don't know how complex the infrastructure for maintaining it was to make it a read-only type of thing as opposed to, you know, because that's also a problem is, you know, having to maintain those servers. Are we talking like a whole data center full of information? Like, I don't know how big, much information was stored there. And that could also be a factor as to why no one's picking it up, at least not so far, because it's just a Herculean task of maintaining, you know, tons and tons of servers and data space for this information.
Well, hopefully someone steps in or they figure something out because you just hate to see it, anything like that, because we all get so nostalgic and curious. And hey, how was that? Or what was that? Or hey, let's take a look at. And you'd like to be able to have access. Your final item is interesting, sir. How can we find out if we're part of the Facebook data breach?
Yes, and this is particularly interesting because since I sent you guys this article, it's been discovered that there was an additional data breach that involved LinkedIn. And on the Facebook side, over 533 million Facebook accounts across 106 different countries were actually part of this data breach. And Facebook's been kind of a little bit not really taken ownership. They don't think that they've been hacked. They think it's basically because someone has basically accumulated a huge archive of data that was publicly available by those Facebook accounts until, I think, 2019, when they actually turned on the security features to sort of hide that from the ability for bots on the internet to scrape all that data. So things like your phone number, your email address, you know, your family connections and your contacts, that kind of stuff is all in part of this major data set that's been discovered on the internet. And the best way to sort of find out if you're compromised in this way. And I should be clear, it doesn't appear that any passwords were part of this. So, you know, you probably don't have to change your password on Facebook right now, but it's always a good idea to do that on a fairly regular basis anyways. But there's actually a really good website that's actually been around for quite a while, and it's a safe place to go, and you just put in your email address or even your phone number, and it'll show you where on the dark web those credentials pop up. And the website's called Have I Been Pwned, and it's owned with a P instead of an O. Mm. And pwning is basically what a hacker does when they take over your account. And so haveibeenpwned.com, you go there, there's a simple little text box, you type in your email address or your phone number, and it'll show you all the places where your credentials have appeared in these big lists from these data breaches. And it'll give you a little bit of sort of history about that particular data breach. Like, I put in one of my email addresses, and I got about 6 different hits. Fortunately, they were all fairly low-risk websites that they were utilized on that were compromised. But I at least got a little bit of information about the type of data breach that happened, when it happened, and what data was actually taken from that particular company or service that was hacked.
That's unbelievable.
So is that,
wow.
Yeah, it is. And I honestly feel even nervous to be doing it because I'm like, I don't know. I thought I wasn't compromised. But does it end there, John? Or can you go a step further and know what to do next, or are there things to do next?
Sometimes they will tell you what you need to do, but this is more of a something we've talked about before on the show. Basically, the fact that you should never use the same credentials across multiple websites. Because if this, let's just say, for simplicity's sake, your Facebook username and password and phone number was part of this list. And you use that same set of credentials to log into your bank or some other place, these hackers buy and sell these lists all the time on the dark web. It's very easy to get this information. And then they would just basically take, you know, john@gmail.com, and they'll just throw that into any service, you know, and it's all automated. Like, they have scripts that they run, and it just generates random passwords until it gets a hit. You know, unless my password was also part of a compromised list, match up that stuff. They create a profile that can be used against you for identity theft and or other nefarious things, like even selling like your Disney Plus subscription, right? You wouldn't know that someone else is logged into it because it doesn't tell you that, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, then it's really good to have things like this, honestly, because I'm thinking of when you mentioned the streaming services, that things that they're doing to kind of make sure that people aren't getting hacked, or that people are aware when their account is being used elsewhere. And sometimes we think, oh, that's inconvenient. But really, in the bigger picture, yeah, you have no idea for most part that you're getting hacked.
Yeah. And it's really inconvenient if your identity is stolen. So basically, you need to be aware of that. And, you know, I practice what I preach. I have different usernames and passwords as many different places as I can. You know, sometimes you have to use an email address because you have to validate that way, that type of thing. But make sure you have a different password on a very secure password, not a dictionary word, not some simple variation of a dictionary word. And let those your browsers or your password managers generate those really long and impossible to remember passwords, because that's going to protect you more than anything else.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for bringing these stories to us, John. Always some important stuff to think about. And then, of course, followed up with some fun. We appreciate it, and we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds great.
John Beeler of The App Show joining us every Friday to give us an app update. And there's always lots of things on the table that he brings to us. Again, 4 p.m. Eastern time on Saturdays is where you can catch The App Show on AMI Audio.
So now you get stuff that appears, whether it's with text or something. You say, well, this is weird junk. Ah, somebody just punched in something and got me. You really don't know what it's tied to, or where they came up with that. It's scary, and it's what an inconvenience. Just as much as we say, it's an inconvenience to do such a long number. Wow. We're going to take a break. Coming up next, a woman from Montreal has designed a new seat so people with disabilities will feel more comfortable when traveling. We'll find out more with Karen McGee after this.
You've been listening to Kelly and Company. If you're hooked, Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.